from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Very impressed. Even if you go back to his rookie season, he's so consistent, and even when he wasn't playing, with his approach. One of the first players in the building, one of the last to leave, knows what we're doing offensively, systematically, and when you look up consistent in the dictionary, like, his face shows up in my mind because he's so consistent, and at a young age, I have a lot of respect and appreciation for that.
That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott on Tyrell Shavers. Let's go. Listen, he made an impression, I think, last year, as McDermott kind of laid out there, and he's getting lots of reps this year up the depth chart. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher sitting down with Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. Always a pleasure. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to be here with you.
How'd you take it? You've been here pretty much the week. You're going to be here through the week watching these Bills practice here at St. John Fisher. Hot days, but full pads yesterday. What takeaways you have?
Yeah, enjoyed seeing the pads come on. You know it matters. They all talk about really starts when the pads come on. And so I spent a lot of my practice time yesterday watching the O-line and D-line, kind of getting a feel for where they were. And I thought there was a number of things that stood out, primarily Greg Rousseau. And I think that there's so many people kind of starving and waiting for the big breakout. I think we can all recognize that Rousseau has been a very good player, excellent run defender, has some impact as a pass rusher. But can he become like the takeover games guy? Can he be the closer for this defensive line? And I would say that yesterday he looked really, really strong, particularly in pass rush reps against Spencer Brown. I think he got the better of him in one-on-one drills, and then of course during the team. I thought he had a quick sack against Brown and team, and then the next snap, false starts, right? So you think maybe he's in his head a little bit. So Greg Rousseau, I thought, was the kind of the story there for me when I watched the trenches. I guess on the other side of that, Spencer Brown had some struggles, but remember, he spent the offseason rehabbing that shoulder. And so I know there's some rust to knock off there, and you certainly hope that he looks better and better throughout camp. But I thought Greg Rousseau was the guy that really popped for me when watching the trenches with the pads on yesterday.
In terms of the defensive backs yesterday, I know you were standing there while we were watching the one-on-one drills, and we were just talking about Kyer Elam in the break also. No Mike Edwards, at least for a couple of weeks. Hamlin and also Cole Bishop getting some time there. How do you look at the whole secondary through camp and what you've seen?
One of the big storylines of training camp is Josh Allen and all the throws that he's making. And you start to wonder, well, what does that say about the defense? How do you reconcile Josh Allen and all these big throws and all this chemistry that he seems to have with these wide receivers? And what does that mean for the Bills' defense? I think what's important there is you really don't have a pass rush, right? And you talk about defense, it's about the front and the back working together. Well, you don't have really a front that's really affecting the quarterback. And I would say a lot of these plays that are being made by the receivers and Josh Allen, they're really good plays. Like, these are high level of difficulty throws, guys going up and making plays on the ball. It's not like the coverage is getting roasted. It's the offense is making plays. But it's fascinating to watch the corner situation where Kyer Elam is absolutely getting worked in with the first team. Sometimes that means Benford comes out. Sometimes that means Douglas comes out. But he's getting a lot of opportunity, and the big play element that he brings shows up, right? You guys can see that, whether it's forcing fumbles, intercepting the ball, being really physical in press situations. So a lot of those flashy moments for Kyer Elam continue to be there. And then at safety, you know, it certainly feels like Mike Edwards was the plan. You heard Sean McDermott say as much, that the plan was for him to get all the first-team reps during the spring. Well, he wasn't available. He had a shoulder injury, and here we are, 4 days into training camp. He's got a hamstring that's going to keep him out week to week. At what point is he going to have that opportunity to convince the coaches, to convince the players around him that they can trust him to be that safety? And so you feel like maybe that plan, they have to deviate and give Hamlin and give Bishop a real shot here to be the guy. Now, I will say that I feel like where the Bills have given up the most plays defensively in the time that I've watched them has been middle of the field. And so you start to wonder, okay, is that safeties? Is that rust for Milano? Is it working in some of these other linebackers? I saw Dorian Williams get kind of sucked up quite a bit, not being able to get to his coverage drop. So all a work in progress, but I think that's kind of the tug that you have when the offense looks really good. You start to ask yourself, well, why?
Yeah. Last year, we were ready for McDermott. He took over play calling, and it kind of became a, all right, let's see what he does with this defense. They had a hiccup early in the year, injuries, and rounded into form quite nicely. This year, we don't know if it's going to be McDermott or Bobby Babich making play calls, but the change in the secondary, do you feel like maybe by the end of the year, whether it's Bills fans or the NFL world, it's a moment maybe to get respect for McDermott? Is that on the line for him? Because if he can change over as many bodies as he does in that secondary, which is so important to him, and still put out a top 5-10 defense, I feel like even the most reluctant Bills fan might give him some credit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, especially when you consider the schedule that they have, playing a lot of really good offenses. I think the real test comes in the playoffs. McDermott's had great regular season defenses. He's had good playoff defenses at times. It's what happens when Burrow or Mahomes is on the other side of it. Can he limit them enough? Nobody's going to shut those guys down. They're awesome players, but they don't have to be the best version of themselves against the Bills in the playoffs over and over again. I think that's where the disappointment that I have comes in. And they've been so hurt as well defensively going into the playoffs every year. And so I think you got to give them some grace for that. But at some point you want to see, okay, this defensive mastermind head coach that you have really put something together in the playoffs in those big moments that limits those top quarterbacks, like you see Spagnuolo do, like you see Lou Anarumo do. So, you know, Todd Bowles has done it. It's kind of Sean McDermott's moment. I think that's where he'll really earn that respect. I think there's a fascinating conversation on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to kind of the lower expectations. Josh Allen goes out and has, you know, a normal Josh Allen season with these weapons and kind of the thoughts that so many people have about the structure around him offensively. I think that that would go a long way in kind of, it's crazy to say, validating Josh Allen. I mean, what more can the guy do? But there's weird conversations about him, and maybe some of that would go away as well.
Yeah, I think part of our last segment was Bills fans want Allen to be validated with hardware, whether that's a Super Bowl or an MVP. I almost feel like an MVP for Allen would be like a baby Super Bowl around here, because people would, it would mean a lot that he gets that validation. So let's talk about those weapons. Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman. You know, when the Bills made these additions, how did you like the moves at the time? And how do you like the way the receiver room, and let's include, of course, Kincaid and the pass catchers, how do you like the way that it all looks in league context?
Yeah, I think you understood the vision at the time. I don't think the Bills wanted to just not have a number one receiver. I thought it was kind of more circumstantial with what opportunities existed and what resources they had to invest in the position. And so their best path forward was, okay, how do we put as many complementary skill sets around Josh Allen and put him in position to run the offense and not necessarily have the burden, for lack of better words, of funneling 150 targets to one guy? And I think that has created a renewed approach for Josh Allen and just being able to play. And it's, you see him out here very quickly just trusting these receivers and guys that he's never really thrown to make plays down the field for him. And certainly the returners like Shakir, like Kincaid, that's all been there. But to see the down-the-field stuff to Hollins, to Keon Coleman, to Curtis Samuel has really popped for me. And it's impressive to see the amount of confidence that Josh Allen already has in those players. Now, you hope that it continues and that when games happen, that same level of confidence and trust exists. But through 5 days of watching this offense, Josh Allen feels like he's having the best training camp of his career to this point, and you just wonder how much of a renewed opportunity this is for him.
Yeah. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joining us here from St. John Fisher. I want to ask you about Coleman. We were watching the one-on-one.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Once yesterday, and it's funny, like, Coleman is not right now a do-everything receiver.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
And there are a couple times he's getting covered by Jamarcus Ingram, press coverage. He was not separating vertically. But I don't feel like that's going to be his game in this offense at all. They might be running the drill. I don't know how many times I'm going to see that from him out of the Bills this season, whether it's the prototype X role or putting him in the slot. Do you think he's got room to do a lot of different things? Do you think early on in his career – it might be a little bit, there might be a pipeline or a little bit of streamlining of what his responsibilities might be.
I think you're probably correct in that, and I think you've kind of seen the way that he's been used in these practices aligned with what his strengths are as a player. You mentioned the word, he's not a do-everything guy. I think anybody that scouted Keon Coleman would tell you that, right? But there is a certain way that he wins, and it's attractive, and it works in the NFL. And so kind of the conversation that I've always had around Keon Coleman and the Bills' decision to draft him was, okay, you acknowledge what this skill set is. Now you got to make it work. And you're not going to make that work by asking Keon Coleman to go win like Stephon Diggs did or John Brown or Cole Beasley or Emmanuel Sanders. He's a different player. And I think what's encouraging is it feels like this offense has an understanding of what he is and what he isn't, and you're seeing him running a lot of routes that are linear and being able to use his physicality and size to create leverage at the catch point and force defensive backs to play through him. And then a lot of times where, hey, it's just kind of work it to him in space and ask him to create after the catch, which is another one of his strengths. So as long as they're using him in the ways that are best for his skill set, I think he can have a role for this offense. I think the question is how much volume goes to him once games happen. And, you know, I think it'll happen through results, right? Josh Allen gives him those opportunities in games and he wins, more targets are going to come his way, but I think there'll be a ramp up.
Yeah. Do you feel like the way camp is evolving here, that position, you know, Coleman could be a part of this too, because I don't think anyone's really thinking, oh, he'll have the Gabe Davis workload where he's playing 95% of the snaps and he's being asked to do everything in the run game and the pass game. Does it feel like because Coleman's a rookie and you probably don't want to put all that on his plate and the way camp's gone, like Mac Hollins is going to be a part of this offense, right?
100%, yeah. Well, and I think one of the observations I would have is you see a lot of those run games, things that you had mentioned that Gabe Davis did, you're seeing Mac Hollins doing that, whether it's motioning in and being an insert blocker, using that size, bunch sets where it's maybe a 3x2 and he's on the post guy and he's going to make a block on a perimeter screen. You know, you could see him absorbing a lot of that, but it still feels like there's targets for him, right, at least in these practices. You know, who knows what happens once games happen, but feels like Josh Allen likes throwing the ball to Mac Hollins, and usually he catches it, and he's made some really impressive plays. He's got a lot of size, and so it feels like maybe the Gabe Davis role is really absorbed by a mixture of Keon Coleman and Mac Hollins.
Joe Brady called Mac Hollins one of his favorite humans he's ever met. Like, man, yep. Allen's got good things to say about him. It feels like the offense, you know, we'll see. We mentioned how the defense has a tough job considering their schedule. The offense, it might be a different kind of year where there is a little more pressure to keep up in some games. As the Bills' defense goes through changes and they play some of the best offenses in football, like, it could be a stressful year for Joe Brady. The margin of error for this offense might not be as big as it could be in years past.
It's funny, you go back to, like, 2020, the COVID year, and that was a lesser Bills' defense. I think it finished, like, 14th in the NFL. Probably the best offense they had. So you kind of wonder if maybe that offense goes into games with a little more urgency, like, hey, we got to get some points on the board here. We're not sure exactly what we're going to get out of defense. Maybe it leads to better offense. At least that's the glass half full approach to looking at that.
Yeah. Tyrell Shavers, you think he's getting first team reps? Like, what your thoughts on the player? I mean, he's not someone that, I mean, most Bills fans maybe haven't even seen him unless you go back to last preseason.
Yeah.
Just kind of the overall profile for him, for you, and whether you're giving real credence to the idea that he also could be on this team.
Well, it's impossible to ignore what Sean McDermott said about him yesterday. Definition of consistency, impressed. These are big words, commenting on his understanding of the offense, his work ethic. Those are big words from McDermott. And Brandon Bean talked about him months ago, right, talking about how he's been around the facility, putting in time. You kind of felt like he may be a thing, and now he's – we're here at practice. Everybody's hyping him up. He's getting first-team opportunities, getting targets from Josh Allen in practice. Has a big special teams background. That's what he did at San Diego State. I think he's like the all-time leader in blocked punts.
Okay.
Originally was committed to, I think, Alabama.
He went to Alabama.
Right.
He chose Bama over LSU and Texas A&M. So, and, like, at some point, this got Justin Shorter a little bit of cred with Bills Mafia. He's like,
right,
he went to Florida. He was the number one prospect at one point. Like, you see that on a profile. I don't know, Joe. I'm always going to say, well, there must be something there.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you could see at Alabama a lot of great receivers. Maybe he couldn't get beat out. Goes to San Diego State, makes an impression offensively, but really on special teams. And it's, you think it's the more you can do, right? You're talking about depth receivers. You know, a specialized skill set that doesn't bring much value to special teams is not going to be an attractive player to roster. And Tyrell Shavers, there's a lot on the menu for him in terms of the size and receiving ability that he has. But if he can be a special teams piece, I think that's going to go a long way. And I think there's a lot of interesting conversations about the wide receivers. Do the Bills keep five? They only kept five last year, right? We forget that. They only rostered five all season long. And so as we try to figure out who wide receiver six is, maybe that's not even a conversation we should be having. Is it five? And is a guy like Shavers going to, you know, maybe stiff arm a Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
Or wide receiver six could be someone that's on the practice squad.
Sure.
I think it's elevated.
Sure.
Quickly, before we go, offensive line. There was one botched snap yesterday. I think it's the only one I've seen because it's not been like a theme of camp or anything. But it did spark a thought in my mind to ask you. Connor McGovern at center, they plan on it. It seems like the Bills have no big questions about whether he can do it or not. For you, like, how sure a thing is it? Is it like pretty close to 100% that he'll be fine there? Or do you think it's something worth watching?
I think it's something worth watching. Connor McGovern certainly wants to be the center. He's spoken very openly about that. I think this is a path that the Bills are committed to, and I don't really expect that they will change course, but I do think there needs to be some consistency with the snaps. You mentioned yesterday there was an under-center snap that was fumbled, but the day before, Sunday, I thought there was a lot of shotgun snaps. There was two that were dribbled back, and just this Josh Allen kind of having to search and kind of feel where the ball is going to be, stuff we never talked about ever with Mitch Morse. So I don't have concerns about him blocking and executing as a center, but you want consistency with that snap. It's critical for the timing of the offense, and it's this is day six today,
right.
So it's early, but we need to see this go away.
Joe Marino, find him at the Locked On Bills podcast, available in the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. A daily appointment for me, the Locked On Bills podcast. Great work as always. Good to see you. Enjoy the rest of your time here before heading back.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Joe Marino. Bobby Babbage, we expect to talk to him coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. Jeremy and Joe from WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.